Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
All right, we are back with We Want Winners 1 day after the 49ers beat the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football, 36-24. And Rod, being that we're doing this show kind of with 1 day of reflection, when it comes to like the big theme that I like to talk about to kind of start each podcast, I want to give you two options. And this is going to be somewhat of kind of where we think the season goes. But I had two reactions. First reaction was, is this the game where we'll look back and say they weathered the storm and they kind of turned their season around? Or because of all the injuries they still keep having, is this going to be more of a blip on the radar because of the Seahawks having some similar problems as the Niners, because of the Thursday night game kind of being fluky in of itself? Which of those sides of the fence do you sit?
I'm horrible at playing the game, but I kind of sit in the middle of those two things. Honestly, this could be a touchstone moment where they turn things around. But also, I have thought all along that one of the reasons they're not out of it is because all of these other teams, anybody in our division, either is having these problems like the Rams, mm-hmm, or Seattle, or regardless of what you think of the Cardinals, or will have them. Because if you just look around the league, everybody is having this game has always been a game of attrition, but it really seems even more so the case this season that it's gonna, you know, these early wins do matter. Obviously, you don't want to fall into, you know, a 1-4 hole like the Bengals, but even a team like that, they hit historically. Joe Burrow has started slow and then came on like a house of fire. Mm-hmm. So didn't have anything to do with the 49ers, but the point is it is, we have to, I think, as fans, train ourselves to look at it as a 17 games, 18 week season. We can't get too caught up in where things are, good or bad. Like, if I was a Vikings fan, I wouldn't necessarily think that, oh, I'm booking my New Orleans plans now because I'm 5-0. I just think that you really do have to look at it as a marathon, and no matter where you find your team finds itself at the quarter point or at the halfway point, you have to, which again is ridiculous to ask fans to do, because that's kind of what we do, is to overreact. But just to be, not get too high or get too low, regardless of where we are at those benchmark parts. Obviously, you want your team to be playing good football, for sure. But injuries matter. And if you're having great health, you can't just assume that that's going to continue. And if you're having crap health like we are, we hope that it doesn't continue. And you hope also, which I'm sure we're going to get to at this point, that when you lose key players, that you will eventually get them back at some point. So that's where I'm at with it, is it was a good win, because anytime you go up there to Seattle, especially on a Thursday night, on a short week, banged up, and get a win, it's a good win. I know Niner fans don't like to hear, but that's like my favorite road trip in the league. I haven't been to all the places in the league, but I've definitely been everywhere west of the Mississippi, and Seattle is a great city. And even, you know, I know our fans go back and forth, but their fans are hella nice. I mean, when you go around in your Niners gear, they lightheartedly rib you, but at least I've never had an issue where it was like anything malicious or anything.
Maybe during the Legion of Boom era, that was probably the hardest time to be a 49ers fan in Seattle.
Yeah, we stunk.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a hard place. That place is deafening. And to go in there and quiet them down and win the game, even at a point where, you know, it got to like a one score game and it was like, oh, here we go again.
Oh my
God. We weathered the storm. Shout out to Renardo Green, whose interception really, I think, sealed the game for us, because they were on the march. And if they score there, who knows what happens. But yeah, it was a very good win for us.
This podcast, so Thompson to Clark, which I do with my buddy Brad Evans, we sit a little bit more on the optimistic side of things, because baseball, 162 games, if you get fired up after a win or a loss, like, you're just not going to last. Like, that is a season where stamina matters. With the death lineup, I think Brian and I have high expectations because of who the Warriors have been since 2015. And you have one of the greatest players of all time currently still on your roster, and you want to maximize the time that Steph Curry still has in this game. With the 49ers, I would say we're a little bit more realistic in that, while what you said was 100% right on, that you do have to kind of pull back and you can't really react this early in the season. I think there are themes and there are trends that kind of give you an idea of where things are going. Now, the Niners can totally buck those trends, as they have during this run, where they would start out bad and then they would end really well. And trying to gauge where that is with this team is really, really hard. One, because their Ginsu knife is still out, and the information around his injury, I'm talking about Christian McCaffrey, is still like not conclusive in any way. Like, I have no idea when to expect this guy to come back. The Niners have been kind of wishy-washy on it. We've argued whether or not that's because the injury itself is really hard to diagnose, or if they're playing a little bit of poker. I know you had mentioned nationally some people think that he's just done for the year, and the Niners don't want to say that. So that is the hardest thing for me to diagnose who this team is one, we don't know when CMC is coming back. And secondly, it's just all of these crazy injuries. You would hope that it would swing in the other direction at some point, but also at the same time, you can just have bad injury luck. And that has nothing to do with how good your team is. That has absolutely everything to do with how lucky your team is. So I think you and I sit pretty realistic on the Niners stuff, because I look on Twitter and during a game, the Niners are either the best team in the world or the worst team in the world. And we don't analyze these games like that. Yeah, we were tough on Brock the last 2 years, but it's because he kind of had to earn it in our eyes in order to be even in the same breath as a Joe Montana or a Steve Young. And yet on some folks want him so desperately to be that. So they want to mention him in those names. And so I think it's just, you know, we have a history with this team that goes back, and we've seen what it takes to win. And we've seen some really, really bad seasons as well. We've seen wide swings with these Niners, and there are a batch of Niner fans who are like, never going to see a championship in my entire lifetime, because they were born, you know, later than we were. And I'm not like that with that team. I would love to see them win another Super Bowl, but also at the same time, I've seen five. So I think the way that we sit is pretty realistic. So that's why I wanted to ask you that question, because we're not really fluff when we talk about the Niners, but we're also not doomsdayers, right? We're not saying, oh, this is the worst team in the league. You know, there are moments where I watch and go, you know, maybe this is just not it. But, you know, you kind of learn and watch from every game. So it's a good place to be. 3-3 because of how poor the NFC West is so far. They're back atop the NFC West, and they have some big upcoming games that they need to get healthy for. We'll talk about kind of the injury report coming out of that game in a little bit. But let's talk about the things, you know, we'll start, because it's a win, we'll start with the things that we liked this time instead of the things that we disliked during the losses. So I'll go first, and it was really offensively a game in which all of your playmakers on offense had good games. Brock threw for 3 touchdowns. Kittle caught 2 touchdowns. Debo took one to the house. Ayuk's stat line isn't gaudy in any way, and I almost was wondering where he was for a lot of this game, but when they needed some big catches late, he was the one making those big catches. So I was just happy to see that the playmakers were making plays and were the difference for the offense. I mean, 36 points is a good chunk of change in today's NFL. You see a lot of the offense so far through 6 weeks. 36 points is really good right now.
Yeah. It really was. My first one is going to be, it's a theme that I'm the only one harping on all season, was the red zone. And I think one of the things I like was George Kittle in the red zone. He was clearly still a nightmare for Seattle defenders. You know, George has always been a matchup nightmare. I like to use that word, nightmare. But again, talking about a striving to be realistic, I am realistic in the fact that George has lost a step or two. Speed is really no longer a huge part of his game and the way that it was. But I mean, hell, he's 30 years old. So I mean, it's not gonna be. It's just the reality of life in general and life in football. I mean, obviously at 30 years old, he's still a young man in life, but in football, not so much. I mean, he's closer to the end of his career. Well, I'm not going to even say that because you look at somebody like Mercedes Lewis. He's closer to
the end of his prime.
Right. He's closer to the end of his prime than he is to the beginning of it. So there will be adjustments to his game. But he obviously, as he showed tonight, still has the ability to dominate these young dudes, you know, in the right circumstances. And he was awesome. He was awesome all over, especially in the red zone where we have been, you know, struggling. There's no two ways about it. We've been struggling there this season.
Yeah. Now, new kicker, at least for now, Matthew Wright still kicked. He still was kicking some field goals where they did not score touchdowns. Mm-hmm. First quarter, they drive all the way down the field. He kicks field goal. They score the pass from Debo, which was not a red zone play. Mm-hmm. And then the next score, another Matthew Wright field goal. And then the next drive, another Matthew Wright field goal right before halftime. So in the second half, they definitely played in that red zone a lot better. But in the first half, I was like, oh, man, here we go again.
Here we go again.
Mm-hmm. But what you're saying about Kittle is what we said last week, which is it really doesn't make sense that they're not good in the red zone because you still have players like Debo and like Kittle who should be matchup nightmares in the red zone because of their flexibility. How many times is George going to pretend that he's blocking and then leak out and make a play like that? How many times can you line up Debo in the backfield and have him motion out of the backfield and create chaos? So those things should be beneficial in the red zone. And hopefully this is a game in which they do get over the hump a little bit. And yeah, because, you know, it's going to be necessary. You can't keep kicking field goals all game long. Even though I picked up Matthew Wright on my fantasy team right before the game to replace Moody, I wasn't too unhappy with the field goals. But man, if we would have lost by a field goal, that would have been not great. Okay, my next one is the offensive attack was way more balanced last night. I think it was 33 runs and 28 passes, where last week it was the other way and worse. And you know what's unfortunate is JP was going to have another big game. And my son, he came over to watch the game. I think the over-under for yards, rushing yards for JP was 83. And he had 71 at halftime, I think. And then he just got hurt and he never came back in the game. He was easily going to go over that 83 mark for the over-under. But, you know, it was like next man up. And I know Guerrero very much looks like a rookie. He did a lot better in reading the holes. I think Herbstreit pointed out a couple of times where he did a good job. And then he had the breakaway at the end. And then all of a sudden, Patrick Taylor turned into Amp Lee catching balls out of the backfield. I was like, what? What is going on here? So that was a nice little three-headed monster. All that being said, that three-headed monster, not going to be, you know, not going to always be working the same against some of the other teams. And that this is why CMC is so valuable. But I thought, you know, the mix of the three guys was great. I would have rather seen Mason just continue to play. Obviously, don't want to see him hurt. And I guess he's got an AC joint issue that seems to be a little day to day. I guess he played the first snap in the third quarter and just hurt it again. And they didn't want to risk him coming back in the game.
Yeah, that was. I really do strive not to be like talk about stuff like curses and snake bit and all of that.
Madden curse, yeah, for CMC.
It was like, damn, when, you know, it was like they would, you know, Mustafa goes out. Who else did we lose on defense? We lost somebody else, and then, you know, then Mason gets hurt, and it's like, mm-hmm. damn, we can't catch a break. And then it was that's not who I was thinking about. But then we lost Banks too, and it was just like, damn, here we go, Spencer Burford's gonna blow this game. it was just like, we, even when we started looking good, it was like, damn, we just can't catch a break. Every time it's like there's an attrition. And then I talk about these dudes not being football players, and they go out there and they're trying to show us that they're tough. And they're trying to show their team. And then Matthew Wright gets goddamn carted off the field. And it's like, oh no, here we again. I mean, I can't remember the timing, because I was like doing 50 things while I was watching the game, since I knew we weren't gonna do the thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily watching as close as I normally do, but it's like, so I can't remember, but it's like, shit, just, are we gonna not have a kicker again? Is this gonna like matter again? But obviously it didn't. But it's gonna be interesting to see if they're having tryouts again this week. I know we've got they're calling it the midi bye. So maybe he'll be okay to kick versus Kansas City, but it's like, damn, this is a problem. Is Kyle going to have to definitely just make it an edict that the kicker just runs off the field, that you don't engage at all?
Part of his frustration for Moody is that Moody's got the leg where he can kick it out of the end zone every time if he wants. So the only time the ball is going to get returned is if he miskicks it, or if they have some sort of strategic thing where they're, you know, testing these new rules. But Matthew Wright, with a 20 mile per hour gust of wind, I don't think he could kick it out of the back of the end zone. So that special teams was working the entire time because of his inability to kick the ball deep. We'll have a discussion about special teams and our things we didn't like, I'm sure. But here's what I wanted to ask you about. I'm sure we did this preamble last year about Thursday night football. I know that there's been this rule since the 60s about you don't want to interrupt Friday night lights and you don't want to interrupt college football. Move the games to Friday. Thursday is so reckless for these guys who are already playing with all kinds of injuries as it is, getting shot up just to play. Now you escalate that 3 days earlier and you see, you know, just madness. I haven't seen any numbers about this, but I imagine the Thursday night game is the most injury filled game of everybody's season. It's got to be, like, you just see these guys, you know, and I was surprised. It was like Fred's playing, George is playing, everyone was clean. There's only a couple guys not playing. I was like, wow, I fully expected other people to be on this injured list just because. And I don't know. I don't think the Thursday night games are good. I don't think it's the best version of the NFL. It seems like these teams are not prepared. It seems like there's so much more variance in some of these games, which to the casual fan, maybe they're cool with that. But these games are so reckless. Can we move this Thursday night game to Friday? Let's figure out a way to change this up.
But you know as well as I do, Gigi, that if they do that, Thursday ain't going away. They'll just add Friday. It's not Thursday is here to stay, baby. That's just the money dictate, and you know, Amazon and everybody. So I don't disagree with the second part. I think Friday is coming too.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna be, you know, presto changeo, another media package that somebody can overpay for. But yeah, it's gonna maybe Turner Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have any basketball. Won't be having basketball pretty soon. But yeah, it really is. I honestly don't follow it closely enough in other markets, but it apparently, you know, if this week is any indication, the 49ers weren't on the field at all this week. Kyle just, they didn't practice at all. The first time that they got on the field was in Seattle before the game. So I guess that is the type of thing you're going to have. You're going to see teams just try to figure out how to best nurture their teams along to some version of health just to get through this game. And then, you know, it's a trip how we, I, you know, and they're not different, but we all do it, is you figure out a way when something sucks to try to create a silver lining. And I think that's what's being done with this mini bye thing as well. You know, we had to play on Thursday, but now we have, you know, whatever it is, 10 days off, which is cold comfort, but I mean, it's something, I guess. This has always been bad business, and I'm complicit because, you know, it's like my weekend starts on Thursday, because no matter how bad the game is, there's some sort of little bitty spread or whatever. Even if it's just, you know, like some pretzels and my little sparkling ices, I set them out, and it's appointment television in a world where, for me, in football is the only appointment television for me at this point. I don't really sit down. There are no like TV shows that I sit down to watch, but I will make sure that I'm in front of the TV at 10 a.m. on Sunday, religiously. And normally, usually, unless somebody offers to pay for me to play some golf, I watch every window. I'm there from 10 a.m. till 9 or 10 p.m. and it's time to watch SVP on ESPN. So it's the only time I do it, but I kind of go hard with the NFL in terms of watching their product.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
I heard, I don't know if this is true, I didn't actually double check it. Maybe the Chiefs play a game this year on every single day of the year of the week because of Thanksgiving and Christmas and all, you know.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true. We'll have to look that up, but is it possible that they play this year every day of the week, Monday through Sunday? That's crazy.
Wow. Well, I know. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure about the Tuesday and Wednesday of it, but like you say, those if Christmas or Thanksgiving fall on, or New Year's falls on any of those days, it could be. It could very well be. That's wild to think about that's here. I know last year, the first time they did, or is that this year, that people were making a pretty big deal about the fact that the Netflix game is on a Wednesday. The Christmas Day game is on a Wednesday. This is going to be our first year of Netflix,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it is this year. So Wednesday definitely this year is, there is a game on Wednesday for sure. So now that all that means is, you know, we need, there has to be a Tuesday game somewhere in the mix. So yeah, it's definitely in play. It is definitely in play that they could play 7 days, all 7 days this year.
You know, I think I'd be more comfortable. Let's say you move to an 18-game schedule, and I'm not comfortable with that. I think adding these games is just as dangerous. But if you made sure that a Thursday night game happened after a bye, and for both teams.
Yes.
And so you had a really prepared Thursday night game, I think I'd be okay with it. And I think the games would be way better. But it's so hard. You know, Niners played Sunday. They played the late afternoon game. And so they're done by 4. They're done, you know, they're probably out of the facility by 6. And then, you know, they have to be in Seattle ready to go by 5 p.m. on a Thursday. That is such a short amount of time. If they had that much foresight to plan these buys around these, you know, midweek games, I think I'd be more comfortable with them. But then again, not every team is going to play on a Thursday. So,
well, and again, I don't know the logistics of making a schedule, but if you're going to give, and I guess Thursday has become such, you know, a ubiquitous part of the schedule that they don't think about, you know, it as a specialty. But if you start making Friday games and Wednesday games, I ain't really thought this out, so I'm spitballing here, so don't hold me to any of this, but there's got to be a way that, you know, if you're adding Wednesday games, you can just give teams who play in those games bye weeks either before or after, just to accommodate the schedule. Again, I've spent zero time. That's something that just came to my mind. But I mean, if you play on a Wednesday, then you're off the previous week. You're not going to go from Sunday to Wednesday. That sounds
terrible.
That seems ridiculous. If Thursday is bad, Wednesday is awfuler, if that is even a word. I don't know if it is.
Now, if you do get to a point where you can almost play every day of the week, let's say Thursday through Monday are on the table. Mm-hmm. If you play Friday, the Friday night Apple TV game, then maybe you can play the following Thursday and really not have to worry too much, because that's the sort of you know, normal Monday to Sunday that I think teams are comfortable with as long as they don't have to do too many of them. But there is more flexibility if you could play more days a week. You know what's going to happen, though, is if they do that, then Sunday we're going to be like, why is there only 7 games on Sunday and they're all the 1-7 teams playing each other? That's what's going to happen.
Because I'm already doing that when they have, why are there 8 games in the early window on Red Zone and then all of the other games later in the day are crap? You know, it's just, or vice versa. Why are all the good games in the early window and then all the, all the bad games in the early window, and then the late games that are good are competing against the Niners? Yeah. So it's just, you know, you're never going to satisfy me in that way, I guess. You know,
what else did you like about the game?
I was pleasantly surprised with Mr. Wright, you know, coming in on a short week. He, like you had said, ended up playing a pretty critical role in those, you know, when the offense was stalling, as we had been doing, you know, for somebody as it was stated on the game that was on the couch. Yeah. Last week, he kicked well. I mean, like, the kickoffs, you know, left a lot to be desired. But really, honestly, what he was there to do was make kicks. Still, I think it's, you know, pretty kind of telling that they seem pretty steadfast that Mitch is not going to kick off anymore. I mean, yeah. if he was, this would have definitely have been the week to do it.
Did he even punt yesterday? I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember, honestly. Oh, he had at least one. He had at least one because it was a good one. We got him inside the we downed it inside the 10. But yeah, it was oh, and then the other one where Conley ran into the dude or was pushed into the dude. Yeah, so
That should have been a fumble, and that should have been a ball.
Yep. So at least two. So yeah, I went with Mr. Wright.
They were making the joke that, you know, it's a good thing that his like nickname isn't Wide for Wide Right. And you know what it made me think about? I was like, we had a kicker whose name was Wade Richie, who they started calling Wide Richie because he wasn't making his kicks. So the kicker jokes, man. But like Kyle said, he's like, they're like contractors. Like, you just hire them like they're not really part of the team.
They just, you know, they show up and do a piece of work. Yeah.
All right. So I had two more. One of them is quick, and it's just that sometimes when we watch Bosa and we go, you know, he's not having that good of a game. And then you look at the stats and like, oh my gosh, like he was like, you know, he had so many, so many close calls to getting sacks based on the stats. Last night, even though he didn't have any sacks, you could see him. He was forcing Geno to step up, forcing Geno to throw early. You know, Geno didn't have the greatest game, and there was something with him and Metcalf. They were not in sync. So it was like Metcalf's dropping balls that look great, and then Metcalf is running a pattern, and like the Renardo Green pick, it looked like he ran a different pattern than Geno actually threw to. So I don't know what's up with those guys, but Geno is a good quarterback. Geno is not a great quarterback, but he's also not a poor quarterback. And Bosa was beneficial in forcing him to make some decisions that he didn't want to. Because there were moments where, you know, they get the third down and I was like, man, Geno's like, you know, I think Geno has realized that when the Niners are in nickel or are in dime, they're actually worse, you know, so much worse because their secondary is so up and down and inconsistent and young. But, you know, then Bosa, I think, came to save the day a little bit and force some bad throws.
absolutely what I saw was that it wasn't necessarily that Geno, well, he was bad, but that we also sped him up.
Yeah.
Because he was, while not, again, that's why I argue to my grave that when it comes to pressure, sacks are an incomplete vision, an incomplete stat as to what is happening. And yesterday was a perfect example of that. They didn't get many sacks. They didn't get their first sack until like late. The game was already like decided by the time the Niners got their first sack. But the pressure was hellacious, especially in the first half. I don't track it, but I only know it because they said it. You know, Nick had like six hits or hurries in the first half, which is a mind-blowing number of pressures on a quarterback without getting a sack. So, yeah, the pressure was there. We just didn't cash it in.
Yeah, the only sack was how do you say Sam's last name?
I don't even.
There's like 400 vowels in his last name. I don't know.
I can't even.
Okuaununu. No, no. I don't know. I'm not even sure.
Like the old wrestler. Barry. Oh.
Exactly.
Sam O.
Sam O. That's better. That is much better. Yeah. Barry Orton. Randy Orton. The legend killer. Randy Orton's uncle. Barry O.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. All right. So the other one I wanted to make sure that we mention, it was really a next man up game. Renardo Green, we mentioned Mustafa, Garendo, Taylor Jr. They were forced into action. And then Garendo gets a breakaway and he stops he slides at like the 5 yard line. And I think it was one of those things where he probably heard someone on the sideline yell at him to not score.
Mm-hmm.
After the game, Shanahan was like, no, what was he doing? Why didn't he score? So I was like, I wonder if like someone told him like at some point in his career, like, dude, you're too greedy. Like you got to think.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, dude, you need to score. So that was kind of funky to see that happen. And like the announcers couldn't really explain it. Like I didn't really see any. I was like, why did he do that?
And you want to talk about a box score anomaly. So he ends up going 10 for like 99, but like he got 76 on that run.
Yeah.
So then that means he was like nine for 23. Yeah. So
23, whatever it was. Yeah. So yeah. No, I mean, look, that's why they got him, is because he's got that breakaway. And it was right there. It was right there for him to hit, and he hit it. So good for him.
And it seems like, you know, up till that point, it seemed like that was the only way him and Taylor were going to play was if Kyle was forced to play them.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get – I don't think Taylor got any run in the first 4 weeks. And I mm-hmm. know Garendo did, but then he, like, fumbled and, you know – it seemed like he was in a lightweight doghouse.
Yeah.
Because Mason was like leading the world in touches, even with Christian out. So you know they're mindful of back injuries. With Nah, it's like, nah, we're not taking this dude off the field. He just, you know, he got to figure it out.
But I do wonder if the injury that Mason did sustain makes Kyle second guess that and like, okay, maybe we do got to play Garendo a little bit more so that the wear and tear on Mason, because Mason hasn't played a season like this before.
Yeah, and he has a hellacious usage rate. He's like last time I checked, he was like leading the league in attempts by like 45 attempts. So he was like ahead by a lot. Yeah, he was also obviously leading the league in yards. I mean, in rushing yards. But yeah, it just it it seemed at the time, like at week four, that that usage was, you know, part of me is saying it's unsustainable, but then it's like maybe I'm being a girly man because, you know, tell Ricky Williams about about usage with his like 400 carries three straight years or something like that.
I mean, I think we've seen that it doesn't necessarily bode well for long careers.
Right.
But that's like the position anyways at this point.
Exactly. When have teams cared anything about them being disposable? Or we'll go even a step further. When have the Shanahans ever cared about that position being disposable? Like, not ever. Mike and now Kyle just seems to be able to cycle those dudes in and get production out of them. I was talking to somebody today, just randomly, some random dude at Ike Sandwich, and I mentioned it would not shock me at all if Elijah Mitchell turns into like Raheem Mostert and goes somewhere else and is super effective, because it's not for him, it's not a talent issue, it's simply being able to stay healthy. But mm-hmm. He's just another one of those Shanahan guys that they like got in the seventh round, who clearly has the ability, particularly in that system, to be effective if he could stay on the field. So, I mean, and I'm, he went to Louisiana Lafayette. I went there for a little bit, his little hometown. I had a friend who lived there. So I'm rooting for Erath Elijah to do something in the league, even if it's not here with the 49ers.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, he was good early in his career before the injuries. All right, the what we didn't like list is hopefully a little shorter.
Mm-hmm. I was honestly scraping like the bottom of the barrel to find things. So you can definitely take the lead.
Special teams got to be the first one, right? Giving up the kickoff for the touchdown was kind of the igniter for Seattle to get back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unfortunately for the Niners, like, it's just been like, if you look at all of the units on their team, now I'm not saying that the secondary is this fantastic unit compared to the rest of the league. Special teams, they might be the worst in all of football right now.
And it, you talk about Kyle maybe having some kind of self-reflection. It, when you hear him say out loud that those, areas are de-emphasized. And then he talked about, I think it was last week or the week before, how when you have injuries, particularly at linebacker and defensive back, special team, special teams, runs primarily all on linebackers and DB. So if you're thin or weak there, it also shows up in your special teams. And that's definitely something that we're dealing with right now. And then you couple that with the fact that it never has seemed to be something that we really emphasize beyond signing a like special teams ace like Odom or whatever. It seems like we always got one of those, but it doesn't seem like we've never really spent huge money on having like a star coordinator over there, or it just doesn't seem, it seems kind of like the offensive line, something that's like an afterthought that we're just trying to patch together. And, just making do and trying to hope they don't lose us games. But we're way beyond that now. Cause like you say, I haven't looked at the stats, but I would find it hard to believe that there's somebody else out there that's worse than the Niners. That would really be something to see.
Now, to be fair, the kicking game has been strong. Moody has been good. Wright was good.
Mitch has been good.
Like, he's had a couple of, he's been like on some of the punt returns, some of that is just him not hitting what we normally see as a Mitch punt, but he's having a good year still. It's really just been the coverage, right? It's been the kickoff coverage with these new rules. It's been, you know, punt coverage in some instances. And I guess I should say if they actually did get the muffed, or what should have been the muff punt that was not called correctly, because according to the NFL, the television camera angle was not available for them. And if you think about that, like, I'm a viewer. I'm gonna give up that angle. I don't need that angle. Let's let the people who are making these decisions, let's give them that camera angle. I don't need it. I just want them to make the right decision, because I don't know how you make that mistake. I mean, the excuses are the excuses, but I hope they fix something like that, because that was ridiculous, where we as viewers can clearly see the ball hit off the dude's hands or his fingertips, and the NFL is saying, well, we did not have that specific angle, yet the viewers had that specific angle. That seems like a disconnect to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Did I have anything else? I didn't really have anything else outside of injuries. You know, if you want to be a little bit of a stickler, we talked about the early red zone issues. I think there was, the Lockett play in the end zone, he got away with a little bit of a push off to make it 29-24. The Kenneth Walker score, that was when the momentum had shifted, but, I can't say that with that Thursday night game where you kind of want to give them the benefit of the doubt, I thought that they played a pretty good game. Third quarter, you know, wasn't the best, but overall I thought it was pretty solid.
I had, beyond special teams, I had to put something down, and the only thing I could come up with was JJ and BA, 64 yards.
Yeah.
That wasn't great. But then you look at the stats today, and it's like BA's win rate is still like through the roof. So he's beating the hell out of corners on his side of the field, but it's only paid off the 1 week so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, there's that.
All right. Let's get to our Coach Singh player of the game.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
All right. What do you have for
this player was of the this, game? This week was the closest Brock got to getting a Coach Singh Player of the Week award, but alas, Debo snatched it right out of his hands. He was, you know, at all three of the places, receiving, rushing, and he had a long kick return. So, 52 yards in returns, as well as 102 in receiving. So yeah, Debo was my guy. Who, I don't even know if you agree with Debo, but if not Debo, who would have been some of your candidates? Mason was on the way before he, you know, had a short night.
I think Debo's solid. I think Kittle would have been solid. Brock would have been solid. Renardo Green for the one play would have been solid. Nick, if he turns one of those into sacks, he could have been there. You know, kind of an underrated game for Fred Warner, because he did get the fumble, but they didn't get it back. And then he did have 11 tackles, so he was all over the field. But that's like normal Fred. But yeah, I liked the Debo pick, because you need to make big plays, and he is a game changer. And that is why he is so valuable to the team, because he can make, and you know, he's so funny, because Brock threw that moon ball And I was like, man, you know, this could have got picked off and taken the other way. And I guess the defender took like a bad angle on it or something. But that ball had a lot of air underneath it. But, you know, Brock will throw some of those every once in a while. But yeah, no, I mean, he was a big part of us getting out to a strong lead was that play. And that was mostly Debo, that Brock just had to get the ball there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, the thing I thought about was you talking about that last week, about featuring Debo more for reasons just like that, because on every time you just get him the ball on a slant or on a end around, he has the potential of turning that 5 yards into, you know, taking it to the house. And that was a perfect case in point of that, getting him moving across the field. And then it was just, you know, he just ran through their ran through the whole defense.
Even Juice got a touchdown. They started doing the wifey leap over there in the end zone with
Juice's looming leap
and Kittle's wife right there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was fun to see. I think in another era of the Seahawks, the fans would have been a little bit more angry, but they seem to not be. Not that Seattle shouldn't have high expectations. They have a pretty good team, but yeah, it's just not the same expectations of yesteryear. All right. I guess the only thing we need to mention is there was news coming out today that it looks like Ricky Pearsall, they've opened the practice window for him, which is great news. They did not do the same for Christian McCaffrey. By the way, shout out to Shelvin and Davis in the chat. Shelvin is on the flip side. Shelvin thinks that CMC is going to come back sooner than later. I don't know if that is just him being optimistic or not, but he's zigging on all of the zagging that's going on with CMC. And then Jordan Mason it looks like he's day to day. Also, I guess what did they say anything about Mustafa? I don't know if I saw anything about Mustafa. But then you know, Matthew Wright. I'm glad it's Matthew Wright, not Nick Wright. Matthew Wright had a shoulder popped out, but they were able to pop it back in, I guess, like right after it popped out. So hit that. I don't know. Do you need to get your shoulders into your kicks? I don't know how that works.
he might need to. He needs everything that he can get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's it. So next week, what are you thinking about next week?
I mean, those dudes are like five. They've been scuffling, but they're 5-0. So, I mean, that is ridiculous. And then, you know, Mahomes is
also coming off of a bye. Niners are going to have some extra days off.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. And I'm just glad that we're going to get them. I cannot believe that they are going to continue to go down the road with this group of receivers. And I don't think that they'll make the splashy move for somebody like Devontae. I definitely, it would not surprise me to see if things continue to go the way they're going in Cleveland, it would not surprise me to see Amari Cooper end up in, you know, playing for the Chiefs. And I don't want to see any part of that unless it's in February in New Orleans. So I'm kind of glad we're getting them now at this point. And I still, even with them scuffling at home, I don't necessarily feel great about it. But we got a puncher's chance if we can get some of these secondary guys back. Having Ward out there would be nice. It would be really nice. I had completely missed that. I didn't realize until I was watching the pregame when I found out that he wasn't going to play. I didn't even know that was, you know, on the board. I don't know. Maybe I was just
It sounds like he was pretty banged up going into the Cardinals game.
Okay. Yeah. So
Shelvin also said that low ankle sprain for Mustafa day to day. So it looks like he should be okay.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think the Chiefs are ripe for being beat. They figure out ways to win. That is very clear. Pat Mahomes is the best winner in the NFL from the quarterback position today. But just looking at their season so far, they beat the Ravens by 7 on opening night, beat the Bengals by 1, beat the Falcons by 5, beat the Chargers by 7. Now, they did take care of the Saints in the last game. They beat up the Saints a decent amount. I think that they're ripe to get beat. I think if the Niners play their physical style, their very balanced attack, and can get a little healthy. Some of this is also the Chiefs are dealing with some roster stuff, with Rice being out. And though Pat Mahomes turned Smith-Schuster's clock back about 5 years in that Saints game. I'm not going to call it right now and say what the score is, but I expect the Niners to compete in that game, and they're home. I expect them to win. Like, they got a lot to play for. They got a lot to prove inside that locker room too. I'm sure these guys are kind of unhappy with the way the season has started. And if you beat the defending Super Bowl champions at home, that could be a nice little jump off point for the rest of the season from a confidence standpoint.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back next week. So Niners and Chiefs is a 1:25 game for the 20th, and we'll be on, probably after 5 or so to recap that game. So next Sunday night, not this Sunday. We could take a break this Sunday. Rod's going to be watching football from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Yeah, clear. It's clear who has the wife here, and it's not me.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to Arizona, actually, tomorrow morning.
Oh, nice. For your
parents' 50th. Your parents' 50th. Yeah. Well, so the Thursday night game happened in the perfect week, because then –
yeah,
got the game out of the way. Celebrate with my parents.
I send them a We Want Winners. Congratulations on 50 years.
All righty. Thank you for that. Okay. Thanks to everybody for checking in with us. For Rod, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.